Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers.
Greetings all and welcome to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. Tim Tarantine here again with you for this great podcast. I'm joined by Carla Winchester. Carla, what's happening?
Not much, Tim. I'm glad to be here with you in the studio. I heard you had a great call this week with Grady Fitzpatrick. And for those of you that may not know about Grady, he is from the Greater New Orleans Economic Development Corporation, and he is the Vice President of Business Development there. But what you may not have realized about Grady is that he has quite an extensive background of experience that he brings to Greater New Orleans and is now applying in his leadership in economic development. Tim, you want to talk a little bit more about Grady's background?
Yeah, no question about it. He came from Atlanta, the Metro Atlanta Chamber, and he was the go-to guy there. He recruited companies to Atlanta, $300 million in new investments and capital investments there in the greater Atlanta area, along with 2,500 new jobs there in Atlanta. Before that, he was in private industry, two very well-known places, PricewaterhouseCoopers in sales and business development, and he worked for the Discovery Channel.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome? I think this is the first person I've ever interviewed who worked at the Discovery Channel in marketing and sales. So he brings a wealth of experience and a diverse perspective to economic development, which have served him well in his role there in Greater New Orleans. I hope that you enjoy the conversation as much as I did. Sit back, relax. Here we go into the conversation. Grady, welcome to the podcast. So glad to have you here today. I'm so excited about this interview with you. I know a little bit about your work, and I've heard great things about you. I also want to take a moment to congratulate you on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers. Welcome to the pod.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to speaking with you.
So let's dive right in. If you can just go back for a quick second, give us the context for how you started in this industry in economic development. How'd you get your start?
I was actually in a more sales marketing role with an accounting firm, so PricewaterhouseCoopers, getting my MBA at night, and was looking for a career change and looked into real estate development, which the market was kind of tanking at the time. I was in Atlanta and said, you know, you should look into economic development, and talked with some of the state folks, regional folks, and local, and really was intrigued. I hadn't even really heard of economic development as a profession. And once I started talking to some folks at the Metro Atlanta Chamber, there was a perfect fit for a project manager role. And that was 8 or 9 years ago now, and just really fell in love with the whole industry about doing good and really helping the community and region and state grow.
So if you go back 8 or 9 years, as you've seen this, not only your career, but this industry grow and change and morph over time, if you were given the opportunity to kind of rewrite the way we do economic development or reshuffle the deck, you pick the kind of term we would use. But if you could make a major change or make a couple major changes in the way we do this business, what changes would you make?
You know, I think one of the more frustrating parts as you go through economic development and grow your career is regionalism, and kind of every piece of economic development has some sort of boundary. And we try to eliminate those, and there's a lot of good discussion promoting regionalism and working together, and I think it has gotten a lot better. But if I could kind of go back, it would be, you know, cross-border economic development, really trying to grow an economy that shouldn't matter, you know, what county, Paris, city boundary, because you're going to get an economic benefit for any type of win that's going to cross those boundaries. But it's just so hard. You know, everyone has people to report to, whether it's political boards, nonprofit boards. And so that would kind of be my wish, is, you know, being able to work together across those, whatever boundaries may exist. And I think we've kind of caught up now with a lot of new programs, but, you know, workforce, I think, was something we sort of took for granted, and we're trying to really catch up. You know, here in Louisiana, we've got a huge petrochemical growth with a lot of needs around skilled technicians, even construction, knowing that not everyone needs to get a 4-year education to participate, you know, in economic development and the growth of an economy. So I think those are kind of two focus areas that I think we're making headway, but if I could go back in time and focus on those a little bit more, you know, we'd be a little bit more ahead of the game.
On the workforce issue, can you speak to anything specifically that you all are trying out or doing on the workforce?
We've taken a kind of a grassroots effort. Our state partner, Louisiana Economic Development, has Fast Start program, which is renowned as one of the best in the country. What we've done at our regional GNOINC level is trying to reach out to the guidance counselors, the multipliers that can kind of spread the message of what jobs exist. So we've done a couple programs. We call them Future Building Fridays, where our workforce team came with this great idea of getting certain industries and exposing those guidance counselors so then they can go back and tell the parents about it. And skills expos, where you bring 800, 900 students and have them talk to existing industries, what pathways exist for them, and really educating the population too, just general population and investors and board members, you know, all the way down, about what those pathways are and how do you get to pays a healthy wage with benefits. I give full credit to our workforce team for doing this grassroots marketing, which is essential to sort of link into what our state partners are doing with the 2- and 4-year schools.
Sure. Let's transition now to your organization and the leadership there that's going on for you. When you're looking at hiring talent today, what's different in what you're looking for today than what you were looking for when you first came into the industry? How has the changes in our environment changed what you're looking for in the talent you hire to be economic developers and salespeople?
I mean, I think when you go back to, you know, what stayed consistent, what stayed the same, you really need people that can adapt this industry. One day it's a software company, the next day it's a manufacturing company to a real estate person. You're talking to all sorts of different people, so you need someone that can adapt, as well as just the ability to build relationships. This is a relationship business. Most sales and marketing jobs are, but as the, even with an economic development, you've got a lot of constituents that you need to, you know, to trust. They need to trust you, whether it's your local partners or the consultants or the industry and your prospects. And I think what's been different, and you'll probably get this answer quite a bit, is just technology, being able to spread the message via social media and utilize all the new tools. I think our industry does skew a little bit old. And so when you can get that new blood who can kind of make your organization and your messages a little more relevant and get them to the right people. And I'd say also we've seen a little bit more focus on industry knowledge. I mean, everything's become very specific, that if you can hire someone who comes from a specific sector that is a growth sector for your industry in your region, that's very key.
Grady, you are exactly right. So I want to take a quick pause for the cause. Carla, I want to bring you into the conversation here because you've got some announcements for our listening audience about some opportunities for them to develop their leadership and expand their community's opportunities to compete here with Consultant Connect.
Well, thanks, Tim. We have been talking a lot about our annual conference, but I wanted to remind our listening audience today about another unique experience that Consultant Connect has to offer, which is our Summit Series. And our Summit Series is really designed to bridge the gap between economic developers and the site consultant community and make it really easy for economic developers to build relationships with some of the nation's leading site consultants. And we do that by taking economic developers to locations and then inviting site consultants to come in. One of the really important pieces of the summits are the roundtable discussions where we get to talk to the site consultants about what some of the industry's trends are that they are seeing and what they need from economic developers. But each economic developer also gets the opportunity to meet one-on-one with 16 of the nation's leading site consultants in about a 24-hour period of time. So it's a really good investment. It's a really great way to start building relationships and asking questions about how you can continue to grow and expand your own community. For those in our listening audience that may be interested in learning more about the Summit Series or possibly attending, I highly encourage you to just reach out to me, Carla@consultantconnect.org. I'm more than happy to talk to you about the experience and what you can expect. And again, we have openings coming up for a few summits. We're sold out for many, but we do have some openings, and I would love to get you in.
So if you're an economic developer looking to increase your community's chance at competing for jobs in the attraction marketplace and developing your knowledge and thought leadership as an economic development professional, this summit's for you.
All right, Grady, back to our conversation now.
Let me ask you the following question and fill in the blank for me. The most relevant economic development organizations in 2020 will have blank in common.
I think the ability to adapt to the changes will have that in common. You know, look at Louisiana economy. We were oil and gas. If we just stayed on that track, we'd be irrelevant. So being able to adapt to those changes and become more diverse, you never know what's around the corner. You know, you can listen to economists and predict things and try to take those into account, but things change rapidly.
In your organization, what do you think the most important decision or decisions that you make as a leader?
I think when we get a lot of projects, we're reactive and proactive, and a lot of different things that we're working on and putting, you know, my team, each individual is a little bit different, making sure I'm putting the right people in place to succeed. They need to succeed as an individual, but it's also a reflection, obviously, of our organization. So whether it's, you know, the Petrochem project, and I put the right person who knows the site but can also speak the lingo to maybe an event we're producing for our existing industry, everyone wants the ability to grow, so you just need to put in the right situations. By far, that's how we develop those relationships and move forward, and you want people to be happy as individuals, but also they need to represent our organization well.
Absolutely. Your successes as a leader and your organization's successes are clear. But there's another side to our work that's not so pretty, and that's the times where we don't win the project or we fail as leaders in an internal setting. So tell us about a failure you've had and maybe what you've learned about that as a leader and as an economic development professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't like to talk about those too much, but, you know, sometimes they do end up in the paper. And
Sure.
But,
well, that's why I'm here, man.
You know,
we don't put it on a podcast.
Yeah,
everybody
exactly.
Here.
You know, we've had a couple really nice wins, and over time, you know, over a few months and probably longer, utilize, you know, the same marketing materials, sort of the same itineraries for the projects that were coming in that were similar, you know, within industry. And we lost a couple that we thought would be easier to win because we had won harder ones that were in a similar industry, and kind of learned a couple things. One is kind of touting the wins that you have within an industry doesn't always work for, you know, the second or third company coming in. You think it would because, you know, their talent would grow. They're sort of the second mover. So being careful to not just always tout the same things. And also, you know, I talked about the ability to adapt. And I think there were a few times here where, you know, we didn't do that. And we sort of said, oh, this has worked before. And we didn't really reinvent ourselves and develop new materials on a proactive level. Sometimes you get reactive to just a project and develop new things. But we had lost a couple projects. I think we were a little stale and didn't take the time to really all sit down and work on an updated value proposition, work on the marketing materials, and work on, you know, bringing some new industry folks to talk to our prospects. So I think it's going back to what I was saying. It's always being on the ready to adapt and really taking a step back at times, making sure you've got your best foot forward.
Sounds like you got the failure thing thought through, which is part of how you've become so successful. I'm going to get you out of here on this question, and this question is going to feel much more like Oprah Winfrey Show or the Actor Studio Show, in that I'm going to give you a word and ask you to respond to it. And,
okay.
And in the response, it's whatever comes to top of mind, and there's about four or five words or concepts I'm interested to hear your perspective on. So we'll start with the current state of economic development.
I think it's stable and critical to the growth of any community.
Incentives.
Necessary to compete, but always difficult to judge the ROI.
Local elected officials.
Always finding ways to provide value to them.
Nice answer. Probably the best one I'm going to hear this year. Workforce.
Essential to any project win.
And final one, looking forward, what's the future of economic development?
Very promising.
Excellent. Grady, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Congratulations again on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers. And we're cheering you on from all around the United States that you do great work and that you continue to have good success in your work. Congratulations.
Thanks so much, Tim. Enjoyed it.
Thanks for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, an organization working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants.
To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.org or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.